So Semis, the beginning of Parshas Vayakil, points out to the connection to the end of Parshas Kisiso. Talks about Moshe Rabbeinu has a masve, has a mask, which Moshe Rabbeinu puts over his face at certain points in time. And then when he's teaching Torah, the masve is removed. So immediately after that is the Parsha of Vayakel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Klal Yisrael and gives them over the midst of Shabbos. He says, "What's the connection?" He says, "Connection. There's a tikkunim. There's a part of the Zohar that says that Klal Yisrael, because of the Chet Ego, lost the special crowns that they got by Har Sinai when they said Nasa Ben Ishma." Pasuk says that they had to get back those crowns, whatever that means. But Moshe Rabbeinu comes on Shabbos and gives back the crowns to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael gets their crowns back on Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe, the Tanchuma says that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered kehilas. Medrash says that he gathered kehilas. Klal Yisrael came together in large units and they learned Torah together. So during the week there was this masveh. It's hidden. The power of what these crowns are has been taken away from Klal Yisrael in some sense. And on Shabbos, Vayakel Moshe, through the process of kehilas, of learning Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu gives the crowns back to Klal Yisrael. And that's the Hemshech to the end of Parshas Kisiso, the beginning of Parshas Vayak. That's how the Mitzvah Semes is Masber, the flow of the Parshas. The Medrash says that Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Klal Yisrael, "You said Nasa Ben Ishma, and Nasa Ben Ishma gave Klal Yisrael their schus to receive the Torah the way they did. And Kalkaltam Nasa, you've hurt your process of Nasa. Hizora Ben Ishma, be careful with the Nishma, with the process of Shmias through Esek HaTorah, through Liman HaTorah, which the Sfas Emes is now adding specifically the process of what Shabbos has to offer." What Shabbos has to offer, so that's going to give us back that connection that we need to have. To the extent that the Medrash is saying that there's some element we get the crowns back, we're able to reconnect back to the Nasa also. We got the crown, two crowns, one for Nasa and one for Nishma. Both of them are removed. And in Shabbos we get them back. We get back not only the crown of Nishma, but also the crown of Nasa. Why don't we master maybe just this machshava? I had a fellow I was learning with in Cleveland. Person comes in. They had a Sunday morning program where they had people which are not frum yet to come into yeshiva and they had a different shir for them, etc., and learn different topics. So this fellow comes in that he went to the Hebrew Academy for a few years when he was younger, and then he went off his own path, and now he's in his 30s, and he was thinking about reconnecting back to, etc., but he's a deep philosophical fellow. He comes in, he wants to learn kuzari with somebody. Like, that was his request. So some strange reason, they sent them my way. So kuzari, that's Reingold. You know, so they sent them to Reingold's. So after about two sessions of kuzari, 2 weeks, I said, "You know, you don't need kuzari. Like, what do you need kuzari for?" So one of the things he was grappling with was this idea that he was connecting into the intellectual concepts of Yiddishkeit, but the Lamaisa he wasn't there yet. So I said, "I want to learn Ali Shur with him." And he says, "We're not going to learn straight. We're going to learn different pieces each week." Each piece which we learned was about the topic how that you can't really understand mitzvahs and Torah without doing it. And this was, I picked and chose throughout the Sefer. Each week we did a different piece for about 6 months straight. This poor guy was hit every Sunday morning with a different piece about the importance of Asiyah. And we would discuss it and find out, etc. I knew that I was getting through to the fellow when the following happened. So he belonged to a shul, which they didn't have a rav anymore, and it was called Orthodox, but they had a microphone. It was an interesting place. It was a little small shul. an old neighborhood which was trying to revitalize a little bit, and he was, and they took turns giving the Dvar Torah. So it was his turn to give the Dvar Torah. It was Parshas Mishpatim. And he chose the Dvar Torah, and he tells me Sunday morning what he said for his Dvar Torah. And his Dvar Torah was the following. It's based on a piece from Rav Hirsch, the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, about the importance that you can't really understand Torah without doing it. I said, really? That's what you spoke about? Wow. He said, yeah, it made so much sense to me. I really get it. I said, okay, that's very good. Right? And I was nice enough not to say I told you so. I really was. Eventually I did tell him I said I told you so, but that's... And I thought to myself, there's a story with Remoto Katz, that he used to come to these meetings, you know, when he would present an idea, and the person would say, no, 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 no. And he presented the second time and say, okay, I hear, maybe. Third time he says, what do you mean? That's what I was saying the whole time, the guy says. That's what he meant the whole time. So Remoto says, so I don't get the credit, but who cares? At the end of the day, we got the point across, you know, right? So then they claimed it was theirs the whole time. But okay, we got the point across. Rabbi Yochanan talks about this idea, Rabbi Hirsch talks about this idea, Rabbi Volba talks about this, that the true understanding of Torah is not through just intellectual concepts. A person can sit there and he can philosophize about Torah. He can sit there and he can do all those wonderful things. If he doesn't do it, you don't really get it. Why is that? There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Antoninus and Rebbe had a conversation. Antoninus says to Rebbe that I have a way to pater everybody from Din. Because after person's nifter, so they come to the din. So the Bershom says to the neshama, like, you know, why'd you do this? And somebody says, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. It was the goof. And I'll prove it to you. Since I've left the goof, I've not done anything wrong. I've been floating around in this nice, you know, whatever, however, and the neshamas fly around, whatever they do, but now I'm not doing any of Averis. So Bershom says to the goof, excuse me, goof, you know, what'd you do? The goof says, no, it wasn't me. Since the neshama left me, I've been lying dead in the ground. Right? So, who's responsible? So, Antoninus says, both sides can be potter from the din. How can Rosh Hashanah judge anybody? So, Rabbeinu HaKadosh answers Antoninus, and he says, okay, I'll answer you with a moshul. There once was a king, and he had a pardis, and there were luscious fruits in the pardis. He had a problem. Every person that he put there to be the shomer on the pardis, because there was always problems with people trying to pilfer things from the pardis, but the guards himself would decide to take things from the pardis. So it was a major problem. So he came up with this great idea, and he's going to get two shomer for the pardis. One of them was blind, so he couldn't see the luscious fruits. The other person was lame, so even if he could see them, he couldn't walk. Okay, I haven't read exactly how the shomer work. In the moshul, you know, so when the ganav walks in, so what happens? The blind guy runs after him, and the lame guy directs him. I'm not sure exactly how it works. Okay, but you know, I guess just the fact that they're there and the people don't know that one guy's blind, one's lame. I don't know, but that's the moshul part. So now one day the lame fellow is telling to the blind fellow, you know, there's gorgeous fruits here. So the blind says, I have an idea. Why don't you do the following? I'll put you on my back. You'll direct me to where to go, and we'll reach the fruits and take the fruits. It's a great idea. So the lame fellow gets on the blind fellow's back, and they go to the tree and they take the tree down. They have both enjoy this tremendously beautiful, wonderfully luscious, tasty fruits. Now, here you are, and the king comes back and he looks that there's some fruits missing from the pardis. So he says, "What happens?" And the lame guy says, "It wasn't me. I can't walk." And the blind guy says, "It wasn't me. I can't see." The melech was nobody's fool. So he says, okay, he takes the lame guy and he puts the lame guy on top of the blind guy, takes him to the court, and he judges the two together. So Kach, Rebbe says, Tantinus, the Bershom takes the lame one, obviously, is the neshama, doesn't have way to travel. The blind one is the goof, which doesn't can't see. The Bershom, when it comes to the din, will put the neshama back into the goof and judge the two together. Ad kan the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? We make a mistake in definitions. Our mistake in definitions is that we talk about what is the ani of the person which is going to be, which was existed before he's put into the goof, and will exist after he's put into the goof, and will be brought to din and shemayim for what did you accomplish, and be given reward for what it accomplished. That's the neshama. And the goof is, you know, in the Moshe Leo, they tell you that there's the rider and there's the horse, and the horse is, you know, needs to be tamed and all this, etc. But the goof is not part of our equation. The goof is just a hecha timsa ba'amah. The goof is the behemoth, and the neshama is the rider on the behemoth. That's what the Medrash is saying. The Gemara is saying that that's not true. That's wrong. According to that, so how can you judge the two together? The Rosh Hashanah created a goof, which is an intrinsic element of what it means to be a human being, because a human being is not a malach, he's not a behemoth. He's a combination of the two. And the Rosh Hashanah created a Torah, which the malachim, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and Shemayim, and the malachim say, excuse me, we want to keep the Torah. Moshe says, do you have a Yetzahara? Do you have a father? Do you have work? Do you have... He says, the Torah was created for people which have a goof. Torah was created to address the combination of a goof and a neshama together. That's what the Torah was created for. So when we sit there and we intellectualize and we conceptualize and we philosophize and the goof doesn't do anything, that's not the Torah that was created for this. There's a Torah in Shemayim. The Rambam Kotler, Mishnah of Rambam says one place, the Mor says that a person is kolomid ve'er oise, it's noyach loy shenepchach shios al panov. It would have been better that before he was, at the moment of his birth, he should have been smothered by the fetal sac and he wouldn't be born. That's the Lashon of the Gemara, pretty strong Lashon. She says, what is the Mor saying? The Mor saying, learning Torah? Learning Torah, it's better in Shemayim to learn Torah. The Torah in Shemayim is much clearer. The Torah in Shemayim is much better. The Shiklach Torah they have in Shemayim are Emes. Right, it's just what we have over here, Behechatesi, you know. You want to learn, you want to be Loimed, Ben Oisa? Stay in Shemayim already. What'd you come here for? The purpose to be here is to be a Loimed Oisa. But what this Medrash is saying is more than that. You can't really understand the Torah, which was for this world, without being an Isa. You won't get it. You're going to get it wrong. You sit there and philosophize and conceptualize, and that's all you do. And you don't translate into Lamaisa. And you don't take it and try it out. Try it out. You don't really taste the real taste of Torah. The Mishnah says, Kakidach HaShal Torah. So it's great. You eat bread and salt. You drink limited water. You measure the amount of water you drink. You sleep on the floor. You live a life of deprivation and pain. And if you do that, you'll be fortunate. You'll be happy, and it'll be good for you. Ashrecha by Lamazeh, but Tarvach Lamabo. So Rabbi Lapian says, the Tarvach Lamabo, I get it, 100%. What's Ashrecha by Lamazeh? You tell me that the guy is living Chayat Sar Tichya. What's Ashrecha by Lamazeh? One question. Second question is, what do you mean, Yimata Oisake? Obviously, if this is the way you do it. And Mishnah says, if you do it, that's what we're talking about. So he said, that's exactly the point. There's no way for me to explain to you how you can be a Shrecha Bar Lamazeh. But I'll tell you one thing. If you do it, you'll get it. But you sit there and philosophize and discuss and explain, well, it's good. You're not going to understand it. If you do it, you'll get it. Mitzvahs are wonderful. Mitzvahs are this, mitzvahs are that. When a person lives mitzvahs, he does them, he gets what a mitzvah does to a human being. Till then, he doesn't really get it. Kilkaltam Nase means Kleisa was on a madrega that the goof was so in tuned to mitzvah that they had a perfect understanding from the mitzvah without any shtiklach Torah, without any learning, just connecting with the goof, they understood the mitzvah. There was no necessary for the nishma kamat. The Nase alone could do it. The goof was so in touch that they could get it with the goof. The goof was Torah. The Ramchal writes in Raya Das Avunas, he says that Adam Arishan Kadam Achet, the purity of the Adam Arishan's goof was equivalent to what we call nowadays a neshama. Adam Arishan's goof was so pure and so tor that it's on the same drag of tahara as what our neshama is. Now, what does that mean? How does a goof which looks like a neshama look like? I don't know. because we know that Kaisa before Chet the Egel, after Matan Torah, they lost the Zuma and they came back to the Rin Drego and Rishon Karim Achet. And that's why there's no Misa. They were going to die. The goof was with it. The goof was with the program. The goof was connected. And the Russian created the Bria that the goof should connect, not that the Neshama should connect. Otherwise, the Gemara is right. Keep the Neshama and Shemaim and have a good time. In Masif to the Rikia, I can tell you that the Shurim are better than any Shurim you can get down here. Mistama to Rama says Shir, Mistama, but Rama says Shir, Emes Lamitil Shatar, what the Rama really meant, you know. There's a fellow who collects Svorim, a fellow in Pittsburgh collects Svorim, he has a collection, he has over 5,000 Svorim published on the Rambam. He has over 42,000 Svorim private, his private collection is 45,000 Svorim. He beats the Oitzer Chochma Kamat, but he owns the real copies. Right? There's over 5,000, so I want to know which one's right. Maybe they're both right, I don't know. Okay, Elul did the Kachayim, but the Rambam was Stamma, knew what he meant. The Rambam gives Shir over there. But that's not the goal. Okay, so we blew it. The luchos are maitzei lakim hema choras al luchos. The Russian created a physical reality called a luchos, which was represented the idea that you could take the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu and put it into stone and make a kaddish. You could put the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu into physical reality and make it the luchos, make it the Dvar Hashem. It's the luchos. That then the goof can do the same thing as an neshama. It's ma'aseh lekim hayma choras al luchos. We did chet egel, oisius parches. It comes as just a piece of stone. My daughter asked me on Shabbos. She says, "Lachar, how can Moshe Rabbeinu throw down the luchos? Lachar, he has an isser of mechikas Hashem. It's also mechikas Hashem. You can't destroy Hashem's name. Hashem's name was on the luchos. He had an isser the rice to destroy the luchos." So I told her Arsius Parker. She said, "Mommy gave the same answer." Okay, good, Baruch Hashem. Arsius Parker. It was just stone. It was just stone. She was quite upset about it. You can't do that. It's just Hashem's name. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that you're going to go and you're going to Psolacha. Karishanim. The second luchos are like the first ones. Isn't that an awesome thought? Misa now exists. The goof is no longer tor. The goof is now is not a partner. The goof is in many ways is a hindrance. The goof is a problem. The goof doesn't get it. And that's not true. There's a way to make luchos karishanim. And that's with Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is if the whole idea of goof is doing something, and Shabbos is not doing something. So how does not doing something solve the problem about doing something the right way? And that's exactly the point. The whole week a person is doing something and he's getting involved in Olam Hazeh. And Olam Hazeh is a confusing place. Now, if it stands... We Shabbos is Shabbos Betzim represents a dichotomy in our reality, which Betzim we have the same dichotomy in reality. We know the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the whole Bria, the Chavoydai. And the purpose of the Bria is to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu and to be Avdei Hashem. Right? And that's clear, there's Psukim all over that's why we're created, etc. And we know probably the paradigmatic Musar Sefer is Mesil Shoshorim. So Mesil Shoshorim starts off. That a human being was created to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And not think about himself at all, and just be an Eved Hashem, and just do it for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? That's the first line of Mesil Shoshorim. Human beings created, that's his first lines. Yisod HaChassidus, Mishor Shavodah Tamimah. Mamash, you're ready. This is the Yisod HaChassidus and Shor Avodah Tamimah. That you shouldn't eat anything, you shouldn't drink anything, you should not sleep, you shouldn't do anything, you should sit there on a mountain and serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's it. You said a chassidus, shor 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 sh When she is bar Rabbi Yisam, especially you get better get this chlor, Rabbi Yisai, Adam lo nivra li yisana gal Hashem. L'honos b'zif shkunos. We're created to have pleasure. Bershom created us to have a good time. As Rosh Hashanah Shimon place talks about, you know, America has something called a good time. Gimel vav dalad, tes yud yud mem. Good time. Shabbos. Right, it's ois. The Bereshit created the bria. Shabbos is it's Kodesh Lashem. You know, the sukkim about it's all about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ma'aseh Bereishis. Da 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 da. Okay. Amadush le'yoneg. Zeich le'ma'aseh Bereishis. I mean, you know, it sounds strange. I have to tell you, there's this. You know, if you listen to your Shabbos mirror sometimes, if you actually listen to them. So, first of all, Shabbos mirrors are fascinating thing. Like, you know, like. Rabbi Tadelbaum, Mrs. Tadelbaum told my wife one time, she says, you know, that he has a couple which came from through the Tadelbaums, one of the many, many, many. And later on, you know, they were talking about their something. She says, you know, my first Shabbos with you was like, we didn't know what to do. What do you mean? He says, we're sitting by the table. All of a sudden, you started like singing. I said, we felt like you're in the middle of a musical, like, you know. Like, you know, most people sit by the Thanksgiving table, and it's like, you don't do that. In the movies, and the musicals, he starts singing in the middle of nowhere. It was like the weirdest thing. It's kind of strange. But that's part of our Shabbos, okay. But what are we seeing? Okay, so we're thinking about, you know, Shabbos is holy. You know, I one time I pushed it, I was like, really, like, till you explain it, like, you know, I had this fellow over, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't from, and we're singing the Shabbos mirrors, we're singing Ma'yidudus Manu Chosech, and he was looking at English translation. I mean, it sounds like more like a beer song. You know, you're gonna have birds, and you're gonna have fish, and you're gonna have meat. And you're gonna have, wow, it's gonna be great, it's gonna be a party, and we're singing. You know, like, what are we doing? That's a Shabbos Zemmer. Barbarum Slavodogim. It's a beautiful song. It's all about food, sleep. You know, I mean, it's like. You listen to your Shabbos verse, and the guy's reading along in the English. Shut up, he's looking at me like, why? That's Shabbos. Shabbos is Kaddish and Torah, and you learn about Shabbos is the Kedusha, and it's Bari Olam, and it's the actors of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and you learn about all the Zoyers, and, you know, the Kegavna, and, you know, Shalshudis. And you think about Barburim and Slavodogim. It's the same problem. It's the same kasha. Why did Hashem create the Bria? He created the Bria to serve him? Or that we should have a good time? Which one is it? And that's a kasha to us in a world where the goof and the neshama are having a fight. In a world where the goof and the neshama are with it together, that the neshama and the goof should be able to connect to the Bari Olam. And when they smell something, when they eat something, they feel a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They feel Bari Olam. I said over Moshe, I said it once, I said it twice, I said it 10 times, but now it should be coming out of your ears. You're going to hear it again. I had a chaver in yeshiva, came from Australia, okay? All right? You remember the story? No, you're right. That's why I'm saying it again. Okay, good. And his parents were Holocaust survivors. They, I think, the father lost his first family in the war. They met after the war. They married. They had one child. They lived in Sydney, Australia. Not even in Melbourne. Lived in Sydney, Australia. Not very well to do, but the father had a dream that his son should go learn yeshiva. They sent him away to tell his yeshiva, and they could not afford him to bring him home. He stayed in yeshiva for 4 years. He did not go home and not see his parents for 4 years. This is in the 1970s. This is like, you know, like not like the 1920s. This is like the 1970s. But he, after 4 years, he's going home for a visit. He's going to be, he came back to yeshiva afterwards. But going home for a visit. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm picturing, like, you know, his homecoming. This is an only child. So Holocaust survivors, which family meant everything to them, that there should be a hemshich, there'd be something left over. You know, that their parents were killed, that their siblings were killed, their first family was killed, and they were not going to have one child. And they sent them away to yeshiva for 4 years they had not seen. Can you imagine the gaguim, the mother's the feeling of emotion of she's going to see her son. She hasn't seen him in 4 years. So what does a Jewish mother do? She makes him a meal, kesudah shlomah v'shaitzah. Every single thing that he ever expressed, any interest that he liked, was there. It was like a 19-course dinner, you know. That's a Jewish mother, right? He comes home and he hasn't had a meal like that in 4 years, of course, obviously. And he sits down and he starts eating the steak and, you know, the dumplings or whatever his mother made. What is he thinking about when he's eating that steak? Steak tastes good. Homemade steak, just like mom used to make. If that's all he thinks about, he doesn't get it. He feels 4 years of love in that bite of steak. His mother made the most delicious steak she could make because she loves him. She misses him. She cares about him. She wants him to shine. She wants him to accomplish. It's 4 years of love and one piece of steak. That's what he felt. You walk out into the Bria and you see the Bria. You don't. What do you see? You see clouds. You see ground. You see Kosher's love for mankind. You see the Kosher's love for Klal Yisrael. You put on tefillin. And the Bershom gave his tefillin to Klal Yisrael. You feel the Bershom's love for us. The Bershom gave his day, the day which is supposed to be about him. Shabbos Hayoyim Lashem. It's his day. He created the Bria. And we're supposed to stop and use Shabbos to think about Bari Olam. And stop thinking about where the Bailam of the world. He takes his day and he gives it to us that we should enjoy it. Because it's his love to give his day to us. It's like a mother who, it's her birthday. It's not Sama birthday, it's her 80th birthday. And what does a Jewish mother do her 80th birthday? She makes a party for all of her children. And she serves them. And Morris says that one time there was a Suda, and Rav Gamliel was serving the tzemidim. They serve them food. And the Morris says, "This is not right. That the Nasi should be serving the food." So the Morris one time says back, "It's not a kasha, Moshe Rabbeinu." Parshas Yisrael says, "Aaron, Zichna Yisrael, Yisrael all come to eat. Where's Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu was serving them." Says it's not a kasha. Avraham Avinu. The Torah says, why are you being maniach, covered Kadosh Baruch Hu, and thinking about covered Basar V'dam? What does Kadosh Baruch Hu do for us every single day? What does he do? He gives you breakfast, lunch, and supper. He gives you life. He gives you everything. Our whole relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu is that he serves us. He serves us constantly. He gives us everything. Shabbos is that the Baruch Hu created a way that the human being can connect the Bari Olam by eating by Burim Slav V'dogim. He's celebrating his day, his Kedusha D'Kadei, his holy day, which we theoretically celebrate like this. The Yerushalmi says that that they're Matar Shila Sholem B'Shabbos. Amaratzim Poshet had a pachad from opening, there's a pachad to open your mouth on Shabbos. The Kedusha of Shabbos is holy, you can't even open your mouth on Shabbos. That's Shabbos. He takes the day, he gives it to us, and he says, have a good time. Because he loves us. The Rosh Hashanah created a Bria, and the purpose of the Bria is the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rosh Hashanah says, yeah, but what's my real goal? My real goal is to give you a good time. You know what? You'll have a good time by connecting it to me. Because there's no greater toiv than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, have Hanoah. But if you have Hanoah and you stop there and you don't connect the Bari Olam, you miss the best Hanoah. The guy had a great steak. He didn't feel his mother's love. He didn't enjoy it. He missed it. He got 1/1000th of what that taste really should taste like. He had a geschmack of steak. Like it was, you know, with way expensive, fancy cut and all. He enjoyed the steak. No, he didn't. He doesn't know what he missed. If you walk through and you eat pizza, and all you feel is pizza, you don't know what you missed. Assuming you like pizza. The Rosh Hashanah created something called pizza. The Rosh Hashanah put in somebody's mind that they're making pizza. And the taco tastes very good, let's say. You like pizza. But there's very oilim in that pizza. When you say, what's your lechem in the oritz? You stop for a second and you say, Rosh Hashanah, wow, You make up how much lechem and oratz on pizza. All right. Rasham, yes, I taste you. You gave me this to eat. You and your infinite love and infinite care and infinite concern want me to eat. I want me to eat in a way that I enjoy. That pizza tastes that much better if I eat pizza like that. But the whole week, I don't get it. I get confused. I get involved in lamhasa. Shabbos says, stop. Stop being in control. Stop being the baal habos. Stop being, it's my pizza. Remember Shabbos, you're sitting at Bereshim's table. Shabbos, it's a Bereshim's table. And at that table, have a great time. But remember, you're at the Bereshim's table. And that'll be the tikkun for your asiyah. Then now when you do something with your goof during the weekdays, you'll get it right. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to give back to Klal Yisrael. He has to teach them a lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu, whose goof is still tor, goof is still pure, teaches Klal Yisrael Shabbos before he gives Melechas and Mishkan. Before you're going to start building and doing and accomplishing and mamash being Charlotte over the whole Bria, you need to stop and think. Who is the baal habos of this table? Whose table are you sitting at? And when you sit at that table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you sit and you realize you're sitting at the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is so geschmack, and it is so wonderful, that your goof is in it also. That's Shabbos. That was how the parsha starts off. That's how you're supposed to hear what a Shabbos is. Before the Chet, the Klal Yisrael didn't need that. So Sosemis points out, or Chaim points out, that the order was Melechas and Mishkan, and then Shabbos. But after the Chet, the order is Shabbos, and then Melechas and Mishkan. You can't get Melechas and Mishkan right. You can't do and build and accomplish unless you have a Shabbos first to teach you what it's all about. So even after the Chet, it's Shaykh, Luchas, which are Kor Rishonim. Like we can find a way. We can find a way to recreate the first luchas, so that the kedusha and tahara that is shayek on a physical reality, on a piece of stone, you could put Devar Hashem into a piece of stone, you could put Devar Hashem into your goof, you could put Devar Hashem into a piece of pizza. That's the geshmak of Yiddishkeit. That's the geshmak of Torah. That's the geshmak of what it means. The person gets up in the morning and says, Shaloya Sanigoy. He says, Asher Baruch Abonim, we call him, Menos Alonim, was terrible. So the person gave me a way to understand how to eat the Bria. And that's Pshat, that Chazal say. That after 120 years, the person is going to take a person to din. There were so many Hanoas I created in the world. Why didn't you enjoy them? I mean, I wanted to be frum. So being frum means you can't enjoy the world. Yishalmi says, apparently not. Yishalmi didn't know that. Yishalmi thinks that, you know, after 120 years we're going to be taken to din for every hanoah that Bereshit created in the Bria, why we didn't enjoy it. Pretty hedonistic. No. That's not what it means. You can enjoy it, but you don't really enjoy it. You know, you're enjoying a third, a tenth, a hundredth of what that pleasure is when you enjoy it when it's menutik from Berei Olam. You go and see, Hirsch says he went to see the Alps. He says he doesn't want it after 20 years, the person is going to take him. He says, Shamshi, I made the Alps just for you. Why don't you go see them? But this part, we're going to have to do ourselves. We have to write on the luchas. It's not the person putting it in for us. We have to write it on the luchas ourselves. And that's the void, and that's the godless, and that's the opportunity. That's what it means to be a person who's part of the Am Hashem and is able to understand the purpose of the Hanov, the Am Medushne Oynik.